This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
As we have entered the month of September, I hope everybody enjoyed their Labor Day and their Labor Day weekend, cooking out or watching thunderstorms pass by like we have in Louisiana, which has become sort of, you know, a yearly trend for us during the hurricane season. But, you know, as everybody's getting ready for the football with the gridiron, as the NFL kicks off and college football's already blowing the whistles on their season to start, I wanted to just try to keep everybody a nice little steady reminder that basketball is still around, even though nobody's bouncing any balls, no games are being played, but it doesn't keep us from talking about things that really don't matter that much to anybody but basketball fans. So I think my co-host and I are going to have some fun with this one. It's a bit of a special episode. My name is Andrew Reich. I'm a co-host on the show here at PTBN's NBA Team Podcast, and I am joined by my other co-host, Adam Murray.
We had so much fun learning geography a couple of weeks ago. We figured we'll double down and do more geography.
Well, this I think with the geography thing, I'm going to, I think I learned my lesson from the Canada episode. For anybody who watched it, it was called Northern Explosion. And I hope that everybody enjoyed that one. I think Adam and I kind of had a bit of a ball with that one. But I think when it comes to the geography, I learned my lesson. I think I'm going to pass it off to Adam. I think you're the more well-traveled one. I do not fly. So I know nothing about regions. I know nothing about where what is. You could probably tell me that Scandinavia and China are right next to each other, and I'll probably believe it.
Good.
But just kind of tipping off on what Adam is talking about, we're going to be going international with our NBA edition of this edition of the NBA podcast. So every edition of the NBA podcast, I think, is the NBA edition, huh?
Usually.
Yeah, I don't think we do. We talk about.
We do a little college, a little international, a little, you know. We talk little about high school dropouts.
Movies, Saints.
Yeah.
I don't think we're going to be talking about the Saints a lot this year.
No, let's not.
Kind of in hushed tones this year. Maybe LSU a tad. I don't know. I'm optimistic. I'm always optimistic with the Tigers because they're always good. But they're coached by a complete imbecile, you know. But with the Saints, I don't know. But
We'll have your 9-3 season like we do every year.
Of course. You know.
Get the Papa John's Bowl or whatever.
I mean, the NFL is kind of like the NBA. It's such a harsh dose of reality. Like, you could have a pretty decent array of players on your team, and your team might still suck, you know?
Yeah, you could get all the All-Americans, all the, you know, whoever won all the trophies and all the awards, and your team will still just, you know, 5 years later be like Orlando.
The difference with the NFL versus the NBA is that if you have a superstar guy, I think you're all right. You're probably going to make the playoffs. You might have yourself another chance to get to the finals if you have a lot of things go your way, and you can kind of bring that you can partner that superstar up with either a good supporting cast or another really good player. In the NFL, it's weird. You could have the same exact players, and then 1 year you win the Super Bowl, and then the next year you don't even make the playoffs. You know, it's just a different mindset.
Yeah, it's a mindset, but, you know, I think the difference might be it's really up to your competition more. Like, oh, all of a sudden you have the same players, same strategy. Well, we won 3 more games. Well, why? Because the other team lost their star player. And, like, the NBA is more you define your destiny, mm-hmm. and sort of the forces around you decide the NFL.
It's more of a narrative in the NBA, whereas in the NFL, it's literally week by week or month by month.
Yeah.
It really is. I mean, some people kind of mock that, saying that, you know, they call the NFL not for long, but it's true. You know, I mean, literally you can go within 5 weeks and everyone will agree on one point of view, and then some player just has a really bad stretch and then everybody changes their mind. Like, the best player, the best perceived player in their position, it changes literally from year to year to year to year. And literally the guy that was considered the best before that might be out of the league like 2 years later. It's so, I mean, they chew up and spit out players. The NBA does the same for the lower tier, but for the superstar guys, that's definitely not the case. Those guys hang on as long as possible, and the referees sort of kind of cater to them sometimes, so that helps out a little bit.
You know? And, you know, you made a good point with, like, the lower tier players, which is also, we have international players, and it seems to be a lot of international players take the place of second-round picks. Mm-hmm. The non-guaranteed contracts. Like, well, we can get a free agent who's been around, or let's get this European guy.
Yeah,
let's
well, it's got the mystery factor to it, too, because if you go to the second round, like, they had, well, first of all, the NBA used to go, like, 10 rounds way back in the, you know, the 60s, 70s, and the 80s, and Davis Stern put a stop to that because he never understood it. So they just limited it to 2 rounds starting in, like, the either late 80s or the early 90s. I can't remember when. But, what it was is that in the second round, usually you took, like, four-year college players seemed to be the trend. Like, guys that you had seen on tape or scouts had seen for a really long time. And so you pick them up thinking, okay, it's a non-guaranteed contract if I want to cut him in training camp. If he makes it, great. If he wants to go somewhere else, then we'll just keep his rights and he can just go somewhere else. But then they realized, well, there's better players than we thought overseas now than there were in the 80s and 90s. So in the 2000s, there was just this onrush, like you're saying, in the second round to just pick up one European player after another, some from Asia, you know, some Lithuania, Yugoslavia was a big one, you know, after the breakup of the Soviet Union. There were so many good players out in that area. And they keep their rights, and then in about 2 or 3 years, they just hope it blossoms. The most famous one was Manu Ginobili, who I believe was drafted in 1999?
Possibly.
Out of Argentina. And then I remember Argentina. I almost said Argentina. I told you my geography is bad. But, yeah, they called him Emmanuel Ginobili on the telecast. You can watch it on YouTube if you have to. And he didn't come over for 4 years until the FIBA World Championships in 2002, when Argentina played in the finals of that tournament, and he really played great, and that was sort of his coming out party. And he came over and he played for the Spurs, and within about 3 years he was an elite NBA player. You know, now he's kind of the exception. Him, Dirk Nowitzki, Arvydas Sabonis, who was a lot older when he came over after the breakup of the USSR. There are some Hall of Fame caliber players that are internationally born that come over and have great careers in the NBA, but usually they're pretty much tiered below that when you talk about these guys whose rights they retain in the second round and even in the lottery.
Well, that's the thing. Point right there is the lottery. If you are a lottery pick, you are expected to do something. So Dirk,
yes,
drafted ninth. Okay, you know, you should be good. And the same way, okay, let's talk about, you know, Mohamed Sene. Mm-hmm. He got drafted by the Seattle
Sonics, yeah.
Yeah, then, okay, well, then there's Eddie Griffin and Rodney White, and, you know, these are high draft picks. Okay, then they had, you know, yes, the Euro explosion with Alexei Yaroslav, Yinji Lian, mm-hmm. Danilo Gallinari.
Obviously, Yao Ming.
Yao Ming, number one, Ricky Rubio, all high picks.
Would you call Yao Ming a failure, or did, I mean, and I don't mean this by his marketing standpoint. By his marketing standpoint, he was a huge success for China in the NBA. But as a player, would you consider him a failure, or did you think that he made his mark as a player?
No, he wasn't a failure. You know, yes, he got injured like everybody else, but, okay, yes, he's a failure because they didn't win a championship, but, okay, Karl Malone's a failure.
There's a lot of failures.
You know, Charles Barkley's a failure. That's too, you know.
Yeah.
That bar is too high. But no, he was, when he was on the court, he was a force to be reckoned with. Mm-hmm. It was just, you know, his career was cut short, unfortunately, you know, but that's expected from his size. He wasn't going to have a 15-year career.
And the funny thing with Yao is that the players that you see, even though he was he was well over 7'2", and he, you know, but his style of play was actually the sort of style that's been catering to these Euro prospects when the NBA scouts them and kind of wants to mold them once they come over. Big men, usually about 6'9" or taller, who can either diddle-daddle between the small forward and power forward position at the 6'9", at that 6'9 height, or the really tall 7-footers who might be able to block shots, like, say, a Serge Ibaka or Rudy Gobert out of France, or guys who can make jump shots. Andre Kirilenko comes to mind, you know. I'm not trying to stereotype it like this is the type of player that all the NBA scouts go after, but I wonder what came first. Was it the fact that the style of play in the NBA with the athleticism and the height influenced a lot of the Europeans at that height to start playing more overseas in order to get the attention from the NBA scouts, and that's the kind of players they go after? Or is that just the way that Euroball is, where they implement a lot of taller forwards to play?
Well, that's the way Euroball was, with always just having, you know, everybody can shoot threes, everybody can pass. Everybody pretty much just runs a Princeton offense.
So even if you were center, you had to learn how to dribble and shoot.
Pretty much. You were, you know, you see a lot of how many, again, he's a 6'10 guy who could knock down a 20-footer easily. Mm-hmm. They all have the range. There's no, the Marc Gasol Euro of, well, he just plays within 5 feet. He plays, you know, front to the rim. You don't see many of those. They're all finesse players. And what helped them in the early 2000s, late 90s, was the rule changes of the zone. Mm-hmm. So then when basketball started tinkering with the paint, okay, now these Euro guys became more sexy because they're already adept to having, you know.
They took out illegal defense, which prevented man-to-man, you know, where you didn't have to play strictly man-to-man. So it slides over these open zones where guys can just kind of roll out from their position, you know, to stay out of the paint. Because remember, the other rule they put in there to justify the zone defense was the 3 second, the defensive 3 second rule, so that people don't just settle in the paint. Well, all these European players started popping out and shooting the ball.
Exactly, because they're already sitting. Okay, I'm outside of the paint to begin with. Bam, just pass it. We're good. Yeah. So they were sort of just in the right place at the right time. So it changed from, well, here's the 7'5", 300-pound Euro guy who can't do anything, but he's tall, but slow. Then it became the, okay, well, now we need the Vlade Divac, the, you know, Yao Ming. Oh, he's huge, but he can knock down a huge shot. Dirk Nowitzki, 3-point, you know.
Now, Dirk's the exception.
Dirk's the exception, but they're looking for the next Dirk.
Because he came from Germany, which is really... I know Dennis Schroeder came there recently, from there recently, but it's just not a rich basketball city.
No, it doesn't have...
It's just not.
Their National League is very weak.
Yeah.
You know, that's why... But you know, okay, Bargnani, well, is he the next Dirk? Any big guy who could shoot a three, they want him to be the next Dirk.
Yeah.
And everybody had to be the next, you know, a couple... Okay, you had... Also, at the same time, a couple of superstars.
Yes.
So you have Dirk, Gasol, Yao Ming.
We got one coming on up with Giannis Antetokounmpo in Milwaukee. I think.
Yeah. So now everybody's looking. Now everybody's looking for the crazy athlete in the lower league. So they're not looking for the, you know, the Spanish league is the top European league. Everybody wants somebody from, you know, who's on Real Madrid.
Is it safe to assume that most of the Euro prospects that came over from in the early 2000s, going into kind of the mid 2000s, were kind of slow footed, kind of all in the same rung, sort of Dirk wannabes?
Well, you know, it's always a mixed bag, but they're always going to be towards the taller front. But the mid-2000s, which, you know, unfortunately, that's 10 years ago now. Mm-hmm. You know, that just seems like, oh, man, 10 years ago, you know, we had Bargnani, Sergio Rodriguez, and Joel Freeland.
Rudy Fernandez,
and Marco Bellinelli, mm-hmm. Thiago Splitter. So it had already been changing. So you don't see the big, slow... Alexia Jinka.
Yeah, well, there were the rare ones, like Tony Parker out of France, when France had no NBA prospects. That was the first one I ever heard of coming out of that place. And then there was Leandro Barbosa out of Brazil. Now, Brazil's sort of come on up with Splitter and Nene and a couple of other decent players that have come out of that country over the last 5 to 10 years, but when he came over in 2003, Brazil was a very raw basketball country.
Oh, Brazil had absolutely nothing.
They had Oscar Schmidt, but that was way back in the late 80s. You know?
And even like the thing with the I want to say stigma against these international players is, well, we have a 6'3 combo guard at home. Mm-hmm. Hell, Villanova is full of 6'3 combo guards. Why do we want to, you know...
The mystery factor.
Why do we want... But you don't see many tiny guys because they're all... It doesn't really translate too much. Mm-hmm. You get the same skill set for a lot cheaper because also you have to convince them to come over here. And you're not going to, well, you know, here's your second round tender. Here's, you know, 2 years.
That's a good point. There's like a political game behind it. It's just not as simple like it is with American collegiate players who either graduate or jump early to the NBA where it's like, you ready to go? Yeah. Where do I sign? And whereas in the international market, when you draft a guy and you retain his rights, which is what we're kind of going to be delving into for this episode, it's more complicated than that because you have the club affiliation, you have their agents, and they're trying to negotiate their way into getting the best contract for that player. And most of them wind up taking something to the degree of a rookie contract, I guess maybe $3 million, sometimes $5 million for some players. I think Nikola Mirotic for the Bulls had a pretty sweet deal after holding out after being drafted in 2008. He didn't come over, or it was either 2008 or 2010. For Mirotic, but he didn't come over for 4 years, and he wound up getting a nice deal after playing for his Euro clubs. But, you know, there's just more to it than that, you know?
There is, but it's just all competition. It's like, well, if I, you know, this team in Turkey has my rights, I'm under contract there, they say I could buy out for $1 million. Okay, well, do I want to use my own money to go to the NBA? Or it's all... It's all just, you know, you're a free agent, essentially. The team has your rights, but you could go against any other team. You can only sign with your one team in the NBA, or you can sign anywhere else in the world. So, okay, who's going to give me the most money? And you see with, you know, a couple players, well, I don't, you know, that dream to play in the NBA isn't really as strong as I thought, you know, as you thought it might be.
Yeah. Now, let's kind of... It's a little hard because it's crazy because you just look at usually the team rosters for the NBA, and even though a lot of them change, it's a lot of the same people at the top. So when you look at the rosters, you know, and you don't consider the international holdings that they have with the rights that they draft or whether they purchase them or they get them in a trade transaction, there's you know, if you don't know the international market for these guys, you would think that the player that the teams don't really have a market there, but in fact, a lot of these teams do. Now, some of them don't, and we'll get to them in a minute. But I wanted to kind of cut it down by just the divisions of the league. You think that would be fair?
We could go whatever.
Well, some are easy. Okay, we got the Atlantic Division. We'll talk about your Boston Celtics for a second. You know, the only one there is actually a guy who's American. He played at Colorado State, originally played at Minnesota, Colton Iverson, and he's over at Turkey. That's the other part. There's a lot of Americans who wind up going overseas because they just can't get on the training camp roster, or they tried out in the summer league and they couldn't cut it, so they decide to just sign a contract elsewhere, you know, to go to China.
You can make a good living over there.
Yeah.
You can have, you know, you can be that 5'10 point guard. Okay, I have no shot at the NBA, but I can be making $500,000 every year and set my family up by just playing in Israel or,
yeah, that's,
you know,
what
Bosnia.
And that's what Colton Iverson did in Turkey. Plays for a team called, oh God, here we go, Pinar Karsiyaka. Did I say it right?
Karsiyaka, probably. But, you know, with Boston, they have no... There are some teams who are big in the international scouting, and then Celtics, okay, Colton Iverson, Marcus Thornton,
yeah. We
don't have space, go out there. And Colton, like, didn't even bother coming back this year. He's like, well, I know there's no room for me. So
the Nets did a good job with theirs. The two that they got, one of them what they actually did draft, it was Bojan Bogdanovic, who came over. But Mirza Teletovic, they signed cold away from their away from the Euro club he played for. But they're already there. Well, Mirza's gone, but Bogdanovich is there. The only guy that they have really on their tap is Juan Pablo Valle, who they just got in this most recent draft. And we're not really going to touch on the ones that were drafted just recently because some of them are so young that they haven't even joined a European club yet. So it's hard to really gauge what their value is because you got to kind of let this stuff marinate a little bit with some of these with the value of these prospects. You got to let them sit there for a year or two and see what they can do.
That's the thing. You're essentially just taking a flyer, and if they pan out, they pan out. And that's the difference you just mentioned. Oh, they signed this free agent because now he's big in Europe and said, we'll give him more money, as opposed to a lot of the times you draft when they're, 17, 18, playing for these tiny little leagues. Okay, mm-hmm. That's like seeing a high school guy. Yeah. And then, who was number one high school guy last year? Cliff Alexander.
Yeah.
High school, number one player. Didn't get drafted.
Had to go to the summer league just to make an impression. Yeah.
Couldn't even get on the floor in Kansas due to troubles. And then, that's the same thing here. You see, he looks awesome in the gym. Okay, well, let's see when you put him against, a 10-year veteran of the top leagues. Oh, well, he sort of sucks.
Yeah, the Knicks are going to be center stage with theirs because of Kristaps Porzingis from Latvia, who's coming over immediately. They got over from a trade with the Sixers in the most recent draft. Guillermo Hernan Gomez, a big guy out of Spain. We're not going to see him for a while. And then they have a guy from France who I heard played on the Summer League squad this summer, but I don't remember seeing him, named Louis Labeyrie out of France. Do you remember him at all?
I don't remember him, but I am a fan of Hernan Gomez.
His nickname is Willie, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
He is like a Marc Gasol type player. Mm-hmm. He puts a couple pounds of muscle. He is the rare front to the basket, old school center.
But we're not going to see him for at least 2 years, I would say. He's playing at Real Madrid.
He's playing at Real Madrid. They just lost Porzingis to they're not going to have lose both their players at once. Mm-hmm. And also they signed Thanasis Antetokounmpo.
Yeah, but he already came over. He was already with the D League.
Yeah, he was here, but he's still an international pick, and he did the weird way of going to the D League first because he couldn't get into college. He can't get to college if you play professional.
Yeah, Toronto, already brought over Bruno Caboclo from Brazil, who they saw in Basketball Without Borders, which is a program that the NBA does. So he's already in the fold. So the only guy whose rights that they've retained, he's actually currently a free agent on the international market, and that's DeAndre Daniels, who played for UConn when they won the national championship with Shabazz Napier and Ryan Boatwright. So we'll see with Daniels. I got a feeling he'll go to training camp and see what he can do. The one that really picked up on most of the international crop in among this division has got to be the Philadelphia 76ers.
And
it's part of the tanking process.
They have no clue what they're doing.
They got Dario Saric, in that lottery, the same lottery where they drafted Joel Embiid. So they brought a guy that was hurt and a guy that wasn't going to play for at least 2 years.
And then, he's saying he might come over next year. He has an option in his contract, but we don't know what the buyout is.
He plays at one of the more famous Turkish league teams, Anadolu Efes.
Efes, yes.
That's one of the bigger ones in Turkey. He's very good. I mean, I don't doubt it. I mean, I had heard about him when he was playing in the U19 games for Croatia, and they beat the United States. And I remember, I just remember Dario looking really nice, and he had some nice numbers at the highest professional level of EuroLeague up just as recently as this season. So it's not like a guy who's dissipated in terms of value. He's gotten better as the years have gone.
Yeah, he is progressing. The problem is he's another four. Mm-hmm. Like, what are you doing just drafting all power forwards? And
yeah, he's definitely a power forward. I think they say he can shoot a little bit, but he seems to me like a true Luis Scola, like a true power forward. By the way, did you see Luis Scola absolutely go off on Team Canada in the FIBA games?
Yep.
Oh, my God. Like,
single-handedly.
35 points and, 20 rebounds.
Yeah, he's just a one-man wrecking machine down there.
You watch him in the Euro, and you're like, in the NBA, you watch him, and you think he can't play anymore. And then,
well, this is sort of he's 35, so this is my last chance.
Yeah.
I'm not going to, I'll be probably too old for the European, for the Olympics.
And it's not like Argentina's really, and we're going to see this as we talk about a lot of plays, it's not like Argentina's really filled the cupboard back up yet. It's really Luis is the Scola is like the only guy now. That's all they have.
Yeah, I would have to look about this.
But yeah, getting back to Philadelphia.
Just a quick thing. You never know because Bruno Caboclo wasn't on Brazil's radar. All of a sudden, Texas NBA thinks this camp. Oh well, now he's going to be definitely playing in the Olympics. Mm-hmm. Whereas 2 years ago, I'd be like, who are you?
Yeah, other rights that the Sixers have retained. Vasilije Micić from a point guard out of Serbia. I saw him play about a couple years ago in the U19 games. He's at a club in Germany, out in Munich right now. Jordan McRae is an American player. He played at Tennessee, and he went overseas last season. Arsalan Kazemi is from Iran, but he played in Oregon and Rice, and he was a pretty good big man. He actually has good value.
He was pretty good. Surprisingly, there was a lot of hype with him going to Rice, and then he transferred to Oregon and still put up solid numbers there.
Oh, he was their best player. When he was eligible for the draft, I kept telling people, I was like, when Oregon went to the Sweet 16, I think that year, and they lost to Louisville, that really awesome Louisville team that won the title, I said, I think Arsalan Kazemi is their best player, and he wound up getting drafted, I think, that season, 2013.
He was solid, but the problem is he's just sort of undersized. Mm-hmm. And again, if I recall correctly, he'll still be a four in the NBA. It's just like,
I think he could. He's kind of like Ryan Anderson. I think he could get away with being a three.
But he's sort of slow.
He is. He's playing for the Soaring Dragons in China.
They'll probably.
I love China's club names. They're great. They always have an adjective or an adverb. This guy became a YouTube meme in the 2011 draft because of his name and the way that. Adam Silver, the deputy commissioner at the time, pronounced it in the second round. Shakudu Bear Maduabom out of Nigeria when the Lakers drafted him because no one knew who he even was. And I think you're not going to know who he is in the future because he's playing in Iceland.
So, yeah, once you reach the Icelandic League,
Now, the Adriatic League is a nice league. Like, I think we had the Adriatic League MVP just sign a deal with the San Antonio Spurs. So.
Yeah, but that's the Adriatic League. We have players. If you're going to Iceland, not really. You're not doing too good.
Let's get to the Southeast Division. Now, this is kind of easy because the Charlotte Hornets and the Miami Heat don't really have anybody on their radar right now, so we can just scratch them out. And then we got the Orlando Magic, who everybody knows is bringing over Mario Azonja. I believe he's out of Croatia, am I right? I always screw up where Hazanja's origin is from.
He's Croatian, I believe.
Croatian, but he's a guard. He's a little different. He's kind of a Ginobili type because he's a guard. But the ones that they've retained, one they got in a trade just recently, Giannis Tima out of Latvia, same place that Porzingis came from. He's playing right now at in Russia. He's sort of a slasher. Got his rights drafted originally in 2013. The funny story with the Magic is that they're the one team that was that drafted high for a really good international prospect, and he never came over to the United States. And that was Fran Vasquez out of Spain in 2005.
Yeah, that was sort of he had never tried out for Orlando, and Orlando didn't really want to go.
He thought he wouldn't play behind Dwight Howard.
Well, he didn't want to go, and he also, I was reading an interview with him recently, he's like, Orlando didn't make it seem like they wanted me. Like, a new management came over, they're like, well, who's this guy? We don't, it's one of the things, like, if you show somebody no love, they're like, well, why would I want to come over here?
Yeah, and so, then they had all that change over with Otis Smith and Stan Van Gundy getting fired, and Dwight getting traded, and I think Fran was still at an elite level in Spain, and he just said, you know what? Forget it. I'm not coming.
By that point, the bus had already sailed because then, Real Madrid or wherever Spanish league he's in, those teams are now looking, okay, you're going to stay here. Why don't you sign a 4-year deal now? Okay, sure. And, the window closes pretty fast with you have 4-year deals with no NBA outs, and you don't see too many 30, 32 year old.
Yeah.
European guys come over too much.
He's 32 now. He plays for a club in Spain called Unicaja. So
okay, they're a decent team. They're one of the.
There's a lot. Despite the origin of the player, the one thing you'll see in common a lot is that a lot of these players play in Spanish clubs because Spain is a real hotbed in terms of EuroLeague play. There's a couple of really good ones like EA. There's one called EA7 Milano in Italy, which is a big one. There's one in Russia called Khimki, KHIMKI. We talked about Real Madrid. We talked about FS out with Turkey. Olympiakos is kind of the more famous one in Greece. And the one we haven't even talked about, like the LA Lakers of EuroLeague, and that's Barcelona. You know, so we definitely got a few that we can talk about pretty soon. The Wizards. The one that's kind of the most interesting is a guy from the Czech Republic named Tomas Satoransky, kind of a point guard, shooting guard hybrid. He was drafted in 2012, but he's with Barcelona, like we were just talking about, and I don't think he's going to be coming over for at least another year.
He is final. He was brought over to be the buddy of...
He turned down a two-year deal last summer.
Yeah, because it was I think his buyout was too high, and it was just, he wasn't too thrilled. Mm-hmm. But I think he says he's ready to come over next year now, because I think his contract is up.
It'll be good timing. You know, you need a backup for John Wall, and if he's a proven guy in terms of, like, being ready for, you know, professional competition, then, you know, it would be a solid pickup if you get him for about $4 or $5 million a year. I wouldn't disagree with it.
Oh, if you get him in, you need a backup to Wall, you can back up Beal, you can back up Arube or mm-hmm. Otto Porter if he's still there.
Yeah, and Aaron White went over to Germany. He played at Iowa. The Bulls, they have prospects, but they have all little to no professional value. The last one that they had that did have any was Mirotić. You also have to remember that they were the ones that drafted Omer Sheik when he came over before he started jumping from team to team. But they have a decent eye for international prospects. They also originally drafted Thabo Sefolosha. But at this point, they don't really have any left. The Mirotić was kind of their last ace in the hole.
And so, well, yeah, you get your one guy, you just sort of, you know, we're going to, you know, we still want you, we're going to sit on you, we're not going to, why go where?
You see any chances of these guys here? Tajiza Dragicevic? Two of them out of Serbia. One is called Rakovic, and the other is Dragicevic.
So, oh, no, Viramenko, Rakovic, and Draga...
Yeah.
Dragicevic. No, because they're already 30, and they're already going to be on the downside. Where are you going to have room for them? And the window is sort of passed on them, especially because, A, you have no room for the Bulls. And, mm-hmm. you know, the Bulls are, like we said, they you get one player you like, you mm-hmm. draft them. Okay, we're going to stash you, but then you get, like I said, Philly. It's like, well, we have 10 prospects, or San Antonio, 10 prospects out there. Well, okay. Yeah. Well, San Antonio knows what they're doing because they drafted Parker and Ginobili. Yeah, but how many of those picks didn't pan out? Every year they draft a European player.
The one team I missed before we got away from the Southeast Division was the Hawks. They're bringing over Walter Tavares, who's like a big guy. I heard he's like a 300-pounder type big guy. And then they have Marcus Erickson and Demetrius Agravanis, which they just got from the 2015 crops. One's in Barca and the other is with Olympiakos, so we ain't gonna see them. The one that they've been trying to get over there is a guy from the Ukraine, or Sergei Gladier, a shooting guard, but he's probably another year away before coming over. But I mean, it's obvious that they like the international crop. You know, they call them the Spurs of the East, and they're sort of mimicking that. You know, they got Walter Tavares, and they also are bringing over Lamar Patterson, who played at Pitt, but he played a year overseas. So I guess they like that kind of international flavor to them, too. You know, Horford's from the Dominican Republic, and, you know, and Thabo Sefolosha's from Sweden. So, you know, it's kind of an interesting crop there.
Well, Sefolosha's from Switzerland.
Same difference.
Close enough, right? Neighbors.
I told you. And then
The thing with Atlanta is, you could say yes, it's Spurs the East, but don't forget they wasted a first round pick on Lucas Najera and then shipped him out immediately.
Yeah,
to Toronto.
Yeah, but I don't know. Maybe they just knew that Baby wasn't going to work out. But he's so young. I mean, how do you know that? You know, maybe.
Well, that's the thing. He's so young. It's like okay, you're going to give up on a one and done after 1 year, and mm-hmm. you know they dumped their first round pick this past year, Adrian Payne, to get nobody. And
yeah,
Tavares is 7'3" from Cape Verde, mm-hmm. in Africa, played for the Spanish league. I was very high on him last year.
Mm-hmm. He averages 13 rebounds a game in the ACB, which is a really high level international basketball league.
And considering the Hawks are allergic to rebounding, mm-hmm. that might be a very good fit for them.
And now, yeah, now we dipped into the Central with Chicago. That was my fault. But now we can talk about the Cavs. Now, the Cavaliers have a bunch of them, but I don't expect any, especially with their cap space. I don't expect, or lack thereof, I don't think we're going to be expecting any of them. You know, there's two of them from Turkey, Sadi Osman and Ilkhan Karaman. Osman, I've heard really good things about. He plays at FS along with Dario Saric. And then they got Karaman. And then there's Milan Makvan out of Serbia, who plays at EA7 Milano, one of the clubs I just talked about. The one that they were talking about was Sasha Khan out of Russia. But now there are rumors that he retired.
He retired from European basketball.
Oh, it's like Junior Seau when he retired from the Dolphins, but he said, "I'm not retiring, I'm graduating." And then a week later, he signed with the Patriots.
Something like that. Like, no, he basically said, "I'm done with European basketball. I've done my time," because I guess his wife is American and they wanted to go back anyway. So he's like, "Well, okay, I'm done here. Mm-hmm. I've made my money. So, you know, thanks for playing."
Do you think he could bring some value there if he comes down and he backs up Mozgov, or if he backs up Tristan Thompson?
Oh, he'll be backing up everybody, and he's, you know, it can't, doesn't hurt to have another big man who's, you know, he played at Kansas, so it's not like he's just a random seven.
Oh, he was a good player at Kansas. He wasn't like a project type player. He was a starter.
You know? Oh yeah, so it's like, oh well, here's this random 30-year-old from Russia who's 7 foot. What does he do? Well, no, he played at Kansas. Oh, well, that's different.
He's kind of like Anthony Parker. You remember how Anthony Parker was a decent college player? He went overseas for a long, long time. And then all of a sudden he just came to the NBA. He was just a really good player, you know, or solid reserve, I guess I could say.
Yeah, he was a solid reserve. But, you know, also with Cleveland, they didn't – half these players were just salary cap, you know, fitting under the cap. Because like, they didn't draft half of them. Mm-hmm. Like, I know they have the rights to Christian Dreyer, who...
Christian Ayinga, you mean?
Oh, not Christian Ayinga. That was their great foray into the...
I remember him because that was the guy that they drafted in the draft about 2 weeks before LeBron made his decision and left Cleveland. And everyone's like, oh, don't worry, they still have Christian Ayinga.
They're like, oh, they drafted him. Everybody's high on him. He'll, you know, he could do something. And he played 2 years and was out very quickly.
The Pistons don't really have any, which is kind of weird because, you know, Stan Van Gundy has, you know, a tendency to like the international crop a little more than the others. I remember he brought over Marcin Gortat. I guess they just haven't found the right type
of player. Well, he needs to work on rebuilding his roster, and he's, you know, with the – we all say, those are such questionable signings he's making, but mm-hmm. – He is definitely putting, the past 2 years, he's putting his stamp on the team, and he's trying to remake that. So you can't really, you know, take flyers on players you might be able to use right now.
Yeah, the Pacers have one that we've seen before, Stanko Baric out of Croatia. He's over at EA7 Milano, but, you know, there's a rumor he's going to come over to try out for the team again now that Roy Hibbert's gone. I would say there's a 50-50 chance he'll make the team. His rights were drafted in 2007, so he's got to be hitting his, like, 30 years old by now.
Well,
right?
He's currently 28. It was just, okay. You know, I was like, I've been wanting him to come over only because it'd be like, let's go Stanko.
7'1", 230. So big guy.
He needs to put on a little muscle there, a little skinny there for 7'1".
The Bucks already have one in the fold, but he got hurt with a knee injury, so no one saw him. He was there in a suit. His name is Damien Inglis out of France. I remember watching tape of him, you know, leading up to one of the drafts, whatever draft he was drafted in, whether it was 13 or 14, and he looked really nice. Like, I remember thinking, that's a really athletic guy. He kind of reminded me a little bit of Clint Capella, you know, the guy who out of Switzerland for the Houston Rockets, who we'll talk about because they have a boatload of prospects. But Inglis, I think he might be, you know, I think he might help out the Bucks a little bit. He might surprise people.
Okay, because I didn't, you know, it was just a mega. They have this guy. Okay, who is he? Where is he?
Well, he was already on the
team. No news on it. Yeah, why do I see nothing on him?
He came over immediately, but he got hurt. He never played. You know, he was almost on retainer because they didn't really need him anyway. But, you know, it would have helped him, you know, especially when Parker went down, that they could have put in Inglis just to help out. But But they'll have both of them back in the fold. The Bucks are going to be an interesting team. We'll get to them when we get to our team previews. The one guy they have is Albert Morales.
Albert Morales.
But he's from 10 years ago. So.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like people have these contracts forever until eventually they're like, even if the players are retired, well, we're going to still hold his rights just because it might be.
Yeah, the Oklahoma City Thunder infamously have three or four of those. Where they have absolutely they've been having the rights since 2003, and they have absolutely zero chance of bringing these people.
Yeah, that it's all just weird salary cap stuff. It's I think the past they just announced a couple months ago that the Celtics finally ended the contract of Shaq. They just have all these players who they're long retired, but they're still on the books, just holding, I guess, for salary purposes, or I don't know, cap hold.
Did you know that last summer was the last summer that they had to pay off Gilbert Arenas in Orlando?
Well, that was the old school buyout.
Yeah. It was the I think he was a victim of the amnesty clause. Is that what it was called?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he was the first victim. They should have just called it the Gilbert Arenas rule. It was almost like they made it for him. The Denver Nuggets have always kind of dipped into the international waters. The most infamous one was Nikola Skidishvili back in 2002. I mean, horribly bad deal that they broke on pretty quickly. I remember they brought over Linus Klaza, who came from Missouri.
He's from Lithuania. He was a...
Yeah, but he was one of those guys kind of like Nick Kalathis when he was at Florida. But you knew that because of the Greek citizenship, he had a pretty good chance of going overseas if he didn't get a good enough deal. And look at what Kalathis did. He went back to Greece, because he didn't find the contract that he wanted with Memphis.
Well, yeah, you don't get the minutes. You're like, well, I'd rather – some players, I'd rather play 30 minutes a game as opposed to making $5 million.
They brought over Jozef Nurkic, and we like him. And now they're bringing in, one of the better prospects out of the EuroLeague, Nikola Jokic. What do you know about Jokic?
Another big body. Mm-hmm. He was in the Adriatic League.
He's only 21 years old.
He's a big boy, but he's not dominant. Mm-hmm. He more has that finesse sort of range, which will go well with a Nurkic. That's what I'm trying to figure out, because I always get those two names mixed up. I'm like,
Before
I say something
Nurkic, stupid. Nurkic is just a solid rebounding body.
He's a solid beast.
He's just a brick.
Nasty temper.
Yeah.
That was the first thing I was going to say about Jokic. I'm like, nope. Choose your words carefully. No, he's more of the finesse stretch four, like an Enes Kanter. He's a soft body.
Yeah. The other one they drafted just this past draft out of Serbia, Nikola Radicevic. He's in Spain. Then in 2012, they got one from Turkey. Izet Turkiyamaz? I'm screwing up these names so bad. And then they have a couple of them from way back when, one from China and one from Turkey, that I don't think they're going to be bringing over anymore.
Yeah, same guy, Akyol. He's pretty,
But he's sort of like Fran Vasquez. He's one of those guys where he was good, but he never really had any plans to.
He's good, but it's one of, he's more valuable to his team in Europe than he would. You could come over, but you're just going to back up Gallinari.
That's what happened to Rudy Fernandez in Portland. He realized, I could either be, a decent role player in the NBA, or I could be a star, in Real Madrid or Barcelona or whatever Spanish club I signed with. JC Navarro did the same exact thing.
Yeah, that's like we said with Houston, with Clint Capella. Houston was like, no. Don't come over. We have Dwight Howard. We have, Donatas Montiunas. We don't need you. Yeah, he's like, nah, I'm going to come over. It's cool. Don't worry about me.
It does work in the opposite. We talked about how complicated it is sometimes when negotiating with these clubs. And then it works in the opposite way, where guys like Giannis Antetokounmpo and Kristaps Porzingis, who has no plans of staying in Latvia or with his European club, where they're like, hey, I want to come over now. I want to play now. The NBA is my dream. Whereas some other ones like Ricky Rubio, they're kind of like, maybe we should hold out and see if we can make more money down the road.
Yeah, sometimes they come over too soon. And it's a lot easier to get rid of them because, you could just replace them. They're easily replaceable.
Yeah. Another one that is sort of infamous for, you know, the foreign prospects, thanks to David Kahn, is the Minnesota Timberwolves. Obviously, we talked about Ricky Rubio just now. A couple of them, Nikola Pekovic. I remember they brought over a guy, Mikel Jalabal, out of France, if you remember him. You know, he got a cup of coffee with Minnesota. Kahn loved him. The funny part, though, is that even though it's made out like Flip Saunders is really dramatically changed the look of the team since he took over for Kahn. The truth is that he has been drafting just as many foreign prospects as David Kahn did. You know, Nemanja Bjelica is coming over. There's Paolo Prestes. There's Bojan Dublovic out of Montenegro. He's supposed to be a pretty good one. So it's not like Minnesota has completely stopped cold with international prospects because they got burned by David Kahn.
Well, they've sort of slowed down because they haven't had as many picks as they used to have.
Yeah.
You know, they had
They had a mountain of picks.
They had a mountain of second rounders. So, like, let's just take flyers on a half dozen of Euros. Mm-hmm. You know, like, Paulo Prestes, he's, you know, part of the Brazilian machine, but where is he now? Played in the Brazilian league.
Not panned out.
Yeah, that's, you know, Lior Eliyahu. Okay, he's 29. You're playing in the Israeli league, but you're not really anything special. I mean, you're
is that where Maccabi Tel Aviv is at, or is that Turkey?
No, Maccabi Tel Aviv is in Israel.
Yeah, but and that's like the Lakers of Israel of the Israel league. You know,
Maccabi, yeah.
Yeah, but you know, Eliyahu, we haven't really seen a great Israeli player yet.
He was a hot name in that 2006 draft, and like, oh, he might be somebody, might do something, but he just never really elevated his game too much. You know, Gal Mikel came over and then went back.
Yeah,
but I guess, you know, for Israeli players, you have Omri Kaspi.
Okay.
He played, you know, solid. You know, they're not impressive, but yeah. You know, 2009
he's a bit of a finesse forward, you know.
You know, he's been here all 6 years, averaging 7.9 points, 3.9 rebounds. Not star numbers, but...
Yeah, the prize here is Bjelica, who's coming over this year. I think he'll play immediately. I think we'll see him get at least...
Well, the problem is where, you know, we'll get this with the previews, but where are all these players going to find all these minutes in Minnesota?
Well, they have to give him minutes because they're going to suck anyway. So
they're going to suck, but it's just, you know, you have to... I don't know. You have all these players, you have all this talent, and, you know, what are they going to do with all of it? I don't know, but...
Yeah, Bjelica was a EuroLeague MVP. I got to think he'll find a way to find minutes. The Thunder, well, previously when they were the Sonics, they had kind of stockpiled, but my theory on this one is that... they had stockpiled a lot of European prospects with no plans of bringing them over because they were tanking the team so that they could relocate from Seattle. That's why you see a lot of these guys who were drafted, you know, right around the time that they were trying to relocate, you know, 2003, 2006. There's four players from 2003 to 2006 that the Thunder still have on their books that they have absolutely no plans of bringing over.
They also, don't forget, the Seattle... was like Portland, and they were heavily invested in every year. You know, like I mentioned, they drafted Mohamed Sene.
Yeah.
Then the next year they got Ibaka.
Yeah, but Ibaka was that was in 2008. That was right when they relocated. That was right when the.
Well, I'm saying, you know, let's keep getting a lot of Euro. Let's get a lot of international, and you know, you can really commit to it fully. You know, a lot of these people, you know, they have rights on what come through trades. Like,
yeah, the good one is Alex Abrines, who from Spain, who I heard really good things about. He is with Barcelona along with Tomas Satoransky, Marcus Eriksson, and another one who we're going to talk about in a second, Ante Tomic. So I don't expect him to be coming over anytime soon. In fact, I think I just heard that he had signed a new contract extension over there. So
he will be in until 2019.
Yes.
So that's the thing. It's like, well, now you've tied him up for 4 years.
Now you got to buy out the contract. If you
21 now. Yeah. You won't see him until he's 25, 26. What's your team be like then? I don't know.
Yeah.
But also with the Euros, you know, the top of the second round is if you're drafting them there, that's like the lottery for if you plan on stashing them. Okay, you want to, you know, 32 to 37. Those are people you expect to come over and play.
Yes.
And, you know, they currently have the rights to Baby Shaq.
Sophocles,
Shortanus.
This is fun. Oh, yeah, Baby Shaq out of Greece. He was originally drafted by the Clippers.
Clippers. Everyone, I remember the Celtics, like, you know, you read the message, like, oh, we should get him.
Yeah.
And I was just shocked he never came over because he was always, he was like, you know, he was 6'9 and like 300.
He's Greek, but he's also like, has an African American descent. So when you watch him, it's kind of like, hey, look, he's a big, burly guy. He looks like Shaq, you know?
Yeah, and, you know, it's just the people, they have hype at the time. Okay, they're under contract for 2-3 years. Then their play sort of just drops off. And then, mm-hmm. you know, at the same time with the really sort of shadiness with their...
Well,
with their rights, you know, they have Houston's.
I know where you're getting at, because a lot of these clubs, what they do is they shut down their prospects when they know that they're about to get drafted so that their value dissipates and hoping that they don't get drafted.
Well, that or you have a promise from some team.
Yeah, but they, but I saw that with a couple of the Euro leagues where I think one of the ones that was Zanja, where they just decided to shut him down when word started getting out that he was going to probably get drafted in the first round, because they were hoping that the scouts would not, they would think that his production level had to do with his, like, his level of play, and they wouldn't draft him, and that and it obviously didn't work. Orlando drafted him anyway.
So, well, you won't just fall out of the draft altogether. It's just, you know, the high Euro players, it's like, look, I either want to go in the lottery or I'm going to pull out.
Yes.
If I have if you're guaranteeing me a first round contract with $1 million, well, I can make that just standing on my head in Europe.
Yeah, well, that's what Porzingis did in 2014.
That's what a lot of them do.
He was going to go late first round, and the agent said, nah, pull your name out, put it back in next year, you'll probably go higher.
Exactly. You know, every year you'll see that. Like, well, why did this guy pull?
We just saw that this year with a lot of the prospects that you and I did with the draft preview. A lot of them pulled out the last week. And if you notice the international prospects that we're kind of talking about, Timothée Luwawu, Danilo Fizarro, Furkan Korkmaz, Moussa Dieng, all those guys are going to be available next year, and their stock will probably boost because now they don't wind up, you know, behind all the international prospects that got drafted this most recent draft. Now they're the guys that are going to be getting looked at first.
Well, remember the big name last year was Mahamadou Djaite, who was playing his way in the first round.
He came over to the combine. Yeah.
Yeah, and he was all ready to go. Then all of a sudden, just disappeared. And, you know, next year, Dragon Bender.
He actually, this was interesting, because we were talking about the Kobe thing with my conspiracy theory with the shoe deal influencing his number change. This is true. A shoe company shut him down for the U19 tournament in Greece. So he couldn't. So the shoe company said, we don't want you to play for your country for the U19 games because of some dispute between the company that was sponsoring the FIBA games and the shoe company that sponsors him.
Wow, I did not.
It was a shocker because he was. A lot of people thought that Croatia had a chance of winning the tournament with Bender. He's that good, supposedly. He's a power.
Well, that was the thing last year with Nurkic, who's like father or uncle, like ran his team, and there was.
Yeah,
like,
look at Enes Kanter. He couldn't play at Kentucky because he took money from a Turkish club once.
Yeah, when he was like 16, when his first, you know.
Yeah, NCAA.
But every year there's a few people, a few names pull out, come back in, and you know, you're like, oh well. You know, it's you, but yeah, Dragon Bender, he'll be the definite top 10 pick.
The Blazers just got one named Danny Diaz out of Spain. He's over at Unicaja Malaga in Spain. The other guy that they have is from 2003, so from Bosnia and Herzegovina. We're not going to see him.
Well, Portland, that's the cautionary tale of putting all your eggs in one basket.
Oh, because Kevin Pritchard loved international players.
That's all he would do. Yeah. What, remember that one year he drafted Victor Criapa and...
Claver, yeah.
Sergi Monia, the same pick. Both those guys disappeared. Victor Cleaver. Joel Freeland. Petri Kapanen.
Now, I know his rights are elsewhere now, but we'll get to him in a second, so I'll hold off on that.
Okay, but that's just, you know... Every year they would just spend pick after pick getting these Euro guys, and The only one who panned out was sort of Batum, and he, you know, Rudy Fernandez.
I think Rudy could have done more with his career. I think he just sort of gave up once he hit the waiver movement. Like, once he started getting traded once, twice, he just got tired of it and said, I don't want to be a journeyman.
Well, he just wasn't happy with his role. He's just like, well, where am I going to get my minutes?
I thought Rudy was a really good player. I really did.
Well, it's kind of, you know, again, Rudy, like I said, Freeland. You just have all these picks just going to Euro players. And
none of them, really none of them worked out, like you said. You know?
No wonder LaMarcus Aldridge was happy and was thinking of leaving his last contract.
Mm-hmm.
I would, too, if you're spending all my time getting all these European players that just weren't doing anything.
A team that's going to load up this year with some international flavor on their main roster is the Utah Jazz. They drafted from Brazil Raul Neto. I don't think they planned on him originally to come over, but now they sort of cracked the glass because of Dante Exum's ACL injury, so now they needed a backup point guard, so in comes Neto. Kind of a small point guard.
That's the funny thing, is they didn't want to bring him over, and, you know, Oliver Hanlon from
Boston College, played
Canada, you know,
back.
He signed a deal in Lithuania without an NBA out because he didn't expect to come over. All of a sudden, you had a chance. Oh, well, your chance is gone.
Yes.
So and now comes Raul Neto. Is he anything special? I don't know, but he's young. He's 23. He can.
Now, this guy had the Thunder had his rights forever, and they liked him, but they traded it in the Enes Kanter trade. You might have to help me out with his name. Is it Tibor Plese or is it Tibor Plebe?
It's Tibor Plese.
Okay, and where's he from again?
Germany.
So, you know.
Germany. He played in the Belgian leagues.
I've heard that he's a prospect that the Thunder really liked, and they didn't want to trade his rights for the longest until the right deal came along, and that was the Kanter deal.
So, yeah, he's going to be, you know, he's also 30, is he 30 now?
Yeah.
He's getting up there because he's been, you know, that was 2009, 2010 draft maybe?
Yeah, but we'll see now. It's put up or shut up for Plese.
He should be a solid backup.
Yeah, they have Ante Tomic, who I was talking about, who plays for Barcelona. He's from Croatia. He was drafted in 2008. And then there's Mario Austin, who is a player out of Mississippi State, and he just so happens to be playing in a league in Kosovo. No, absolutely zero chance of him coming over.
Yeah, he's 33 years old.
Yeah, zero chance he'll get a chance there.
He's done. Ante Tomic, you know, I believe he's 7'2".
Yeah.
But I know he's Barcelona locked him up for a couple years. So.
Yeah, Tomic, he's a good one. He's a good one. I think Plese, you know, him and
Sasha Connor, basically. They're the same, you know, same age, same style. They'll give you solid backup minutes.
Actually, Tomic and Plese, they were both with Barcelona at the same time. They were the starting centers, or they were sharing the starting center spot last season. So now now Tomic is still with Barcelona, but now Plese is coming over. So we'll see there. There's a lot of international play with that team. And, you know, barring Exum with the injury, they got, you know, the other one, Joe Ingles. I'm trying to remember, Rudy Gobert. So there's a lot of international flavor with that team. You know, Quinn Snyder spent a year coaching a foreign club as an assistant before he came back, and he was an assistant for the Hawks, and then he got the head coaching job with the Jazz. So kind of an interesting team, a little different from all the other ones when it comes to their makeup with the international players. I wonder if it has something to do with the Kirilenko thing, because Kirilenko is one of the first really good foreign players to come over.
Well, they had Kirilenko and who was that center's name?
Oh, it's right there. Mehmet Okor?
Yes, Okor, yes.
They signed him away from Detroit. Yeah, gave him max money.
They gave him max money, but again, what was he, a 7-foot guy who could shoot a three?
Didn't they have Giricic for a long time?
They had Gordon Giricic, who was nothing special.
Yeah, but let me tell you this. I was watching Open Court, and Chauncey Billups had they were talking about guys that you couldn't guard, and there was some funny ones like the guy that Isaiah Thomas said he couldn't guard was a guy named Steve Coulter, who had like this crooked leg dribble where he would stop and start and go again. And they went to Chauncey Billups, they said, who was the guy that you just had trouble checking? And he said two of them. One was Carlos Arroyo, who you remember out of Puerto Rico, and then he also played for the Jazz weirdly, and the other one was Goran Giricic. He said Giricic gave him trouble.
As always, yeah. always one weird player. Like, what? Like, him?
Yeah.
Okay, you know.
The other, man, I really wish I could remember the one that Chris Webber said. It was one of those white boy big men, kind of like a Jack Sikma, who had that pump fake, you know. And I'm trying to remember. He played for the Celtics. And, Marty Conlin. His name was Marty Conlin. And he would do a pump fake over his shoulder like Jack Sikma used to do.
Uh-huh.
And if you bit, he was so good at it that you would bite it. Rashard Lewis was sort of the same way. And if he took, and he would put his arms all the way up on the pump fake. And if you bit it, he would go to the hole for like a layup. And he wasn't really a good player. He just had that one move, you know, that one move always got everybody. Let's move on to the Pacific Division here. The Warriors don't really have anybody. The ones that they have are already over there. Anyan Kuzmic is in the D League for their affiliate there. And then
they didn't want him to come over either.
Yeah, and then they had one other guy, Nemanja Nedovic, and they cut him. You know.
Yeah, because he came over early too, and they're like, "Well, we have no room for him." Mm-hmm. You know, Festus Ezeli. Okay, yes, he played at Vanderbilt.
At Vanderbilt. Yeah, that doesn't count to me. Yeah.
Okay, fair enough.
He was a four-year player at Vanderbilt with Jeffrey Taylor and John Jenkins. It's funny because, like, who was the famous Lithuanian player? He's, like, the legendary player. Can you help me out for a second? I can never remember the man's name, but you know who I'm talking about. He was, like, he was the best player Lithuania had in the 2000 Sydney games when they almost beat Team USA.
Yeah, his kid plays in
Yasa Kivicic? Or...
Oh, yeah, Sarunas Jasikevicius?
Yeah, he played at Maryland.
Oh, yeah, the one I was thinking you
were. He played at the University of Maryland. So is he an international player or is he a college player? You know?
Yeah, fair enough.
The Clippers had the rights to Giannis Tima, and I think they traded him just recently, so they don't really have anybody left. The Lakers don't have any. The Suns have Bogdanovic, not to be confused with Boyan. Bogdan is a guard. He's playing in Turkey, one of the more famous leagues in Turkey, which is Fenerbahçe Okir. Did I say that right? Ulker. I've heard that club name before in Turkey.
Oh, it's one of the better. They have like three or four good teams.
Yeah, and Alec Brown, who played at Wisconsin Green Bay, he's in Spain right now. And then there's the Kings. There's Arturis Gudadis, who they got in that trade with the Sixers, where they traded away Stauskas and Jason Thompson and Carl Landry. That was sort of the recipient of that deal. He's in Lithuania. Luka Mitrovic is another one. He's in Serbia. And then there's Alex Oriaki in Italy, but Oriaki played in UConn in Missouri. I mean, everybody knows who Oriaki is.
Yeah.
You know. And now we're moving on to the Southwest Division. You know, the Mavericks had the pioneer of, to me, the pioneer of the European, you know, takeover, and that was with Dirk Nowitzki. And they've had their touch of their international players. J.J. Barea played at Northeastern, but he's of an international descent, you know. And then there's you talked about Gail McHale. They brought him over. They're bringing over a big man out of Tunisia this year to help out because of the DeAndre Jordan fiasco. His name is Salah Majiri, and they just drafted that big dude out of India. I forgot his name already.
Santam Singh?
Yeah, I don't think he's coming over, though.
Well, Mark Cuban also said that was purely for marketing.
Oh, like the million-dollar arm kind of thing?
Yeah, it's just like, well, now we'll be, you know, he's the first Indian player drafted, so we're going to open up a market there and,
yeah,
you know, dump him in the D-League for a few years.
There's three players here for the Mavericks. Two I don't care about, but one sticks out, okay? In 09, they had the rights to a Turkish player named... he was drafted in 09... But his name is Amir Prelcic. He's playing at Turkey, probably not coming over. Rinaldas Sabutis out of Lithuania. He's playing at Turkey with the same team as Amir Prelcic, I think. I'm screwing up the name so bad. But they're playing together. I don't care about them. Petteri Kompanen out of Finland is a really good player. He's probably the best player Finland's ever had, for what it's worth. He's playing at Khimki in Russia, which is like the most famous Russian club out there. What do you think Kompanen could have done in his prime years if he had come over?
I don't know what he could have done, because he was more, he didn't have the speed, but he had the, he had great core vision. He's
6'5" point guard.
He sort of reminded me of like a Grievous Vasquez. Mm-hmm. You know, he's not going to wow you with speed, but he'll give you like solid minutes. But it was just, he's been always like, well, I want to come over. I want to come over. And Portland was like, no, we're good.
Yeah.
And then they trapped him to Dallas. He's like, I kind of want to come over. And Dallas is like, yeah, we don't know.
Yeah, you know, he told Mark Stein, who's sort of the inside man for the Mavericks, he always has been, that he wanted to come over after he already signed the deal with Kimke. So I don't know where we're at with it with Kompanen. I wish he would just try, you know, in training camp, they would just give him an opening. I think he could have been good. I've, you know, the thing is, the Finnish team is just not good. You know, I mean, the only other guy that you have on the team that's got any NBA value is Eric Murphy from Florida.
They got Eric Murphy. Drew Gooden found his Finnish heritage, apparently. They have some kid in the D League.
Yeah, not really, not much. Not much.
No, they're not. There's, you know, that's a hockey country.
Yeah.
And you know, the ones who are, like I said, he's 6'5", and so it's sort of like, well, why? You know, if he was like 7 foot, like, okay, we make sense. That's all you could do. But to be, you know, a combo guard, it's sort of a shame he hasn't come over, because he always seemed like one of those players who could translate.
Yeah. And if, there's, just, and if there's one spot where they needed a point guard, I'd think it'd be Dallas. I mean, wouldn't they want one? You know? They brought over Gail McHale from Israel. He wasn't near ready, you know?
Yeah, but again, it could have been, you know, he was already under contract or he wanted a guarantee. It's just, we don't know
the inside story. Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay, I want to save the last two, like, the two richest ones. So, the Grizzlies don't really have any, you know. They got Marc Gasol actually in a trade for Powell, you know. And the funny thing with Mark is that he's from Spain, but didn't he play high school in the United States?
Well, he played in Memphis.
Yeah.
That's why there was, like, he's not leaving Memphis, because he, you know, came over with Powell, went to high school in Memphis.
Yeah, but the Lakers had originally drafted his rights.
Yeah, because he didn't want to go to college, so it's just like, okay, go play in Spain for a few years. Mm-hmm. And then the
Grizzlies said, well, you know, we'll do this Kwame Brown deal, but we want Marc Gasol's rights.
Yeah, he was really the center.
The best thing they ever did.
You know, well, Javaris Crittenden wasn't part of the main part of the deal, so it wasn't Kwame. It was the, you know, the rights to this kid down the line.
Yeah, the Pelicans have the rights to an American player who kind of like flamed out in Memphis. And went overseas during his college days, Latavius Williams. They say he's developed, but I mean, I'll believe it when I see it. I don't think he's going to be coming over anytime soon.
You know, he was the first one drafted from the D League. Couldn't get into college. We had mentioned it during our one-and-dones and none-and-dones.
Yeah.
You know, it's... I guess the main thing is, you know, he's only 26, but yeah, he's been a professional for 6 years now, and nobody's really thrilled of bringing him over.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's get to the big gun, shall we?
Okay, if we must.
First, the Houston Rockets. Daryl Morey loves international players. Let's just get that out of the way. Everyone knows that he's Dork Elvis. He's always been a progressive thinker. Would you consider him, like, the most influential NBA general manager in the last 10 years, or would you say somebody else?
No, because he has his style, and sometimes it's paid off, and most of the times it's not. And also, you know, for every good pick he's found, he's also gutted his team in hope of getting that third superstar.
And he's made some bad free agent calls before the James Harden trade. There's a couple where he made signs.
You know, you can't be influential for having your strategy and sticking to it.
Mm-hmm.
If you're just like, oh, I've fallen in love with all the big free agents who want to come here. Well, get out all you garbage.
Well, it's
all
also the analytics. Also the analytics side of things. You know, where he kind of helped usher that in. It wasn't like he was responsible solely for it. But he was sort of the first major general manager to say, I'm really going to stick with this, and this is going to be my value system for our prospects and the players on my roster regardless.
Yeah, here's the value system. Okay, I've got this, you know, I got this analytic guy, Chandler Parsons, up. Well, somebody else can sign him away because I don't want to keep him. It's like, okay. You're two. He's always looking for the next move, I think.
Okay. They brought over in 2014. They brought over. They didn't bring him over, but they got Alessandro Gentile from Italy. He's supposed to be pretty good. He's at EA7 Milano, which we've already mentioned a couple of times. I don't see him coming over for at least another few years. Marko Todorovic from Montenegro is a good one, but he's at Khimki. He's also under contract until 2018. But Todorovic has got a center. He's got one of the higher values among all the prospects in the marketplace right now.
Yeah, he's a bruiser from Montenegro. Mm-hmm. And, you know, but he's also a year or two away, I think.
Yeah.
About the fact he's under contract, but he needs, he's only 23, so he needs to bulk up a little bit more, I think.
Yeah, a guy that reminds me of Kapanen, sort of in his value, Sergio Yul. Now he's younger than Kapanen.
Will never come over ever.
Because he's in Real Madrid until 2021.
He, you know, that was the highest. Houston bought that pick from Denver.
Yeah.
Okay. It was the highest paid. They paid like $2 or $3 million for that pick. Mm-hmm. They really wanted him, and Sergio just never wanted to come over really.
Yeah, I think the negotiations got deep this summer, and then Yul just decided to go back to Real Madrid.
Yeah, he just never. Some players are just like, I want to play. It's not, you know, it's my dream to come to America. Yeah. This is what I've always wanted to do since I was. He's just like, no.
Yeah, and he's going to be a star guard alongside Rubio in the future. I think I remember seeing him a lot for Spain in the London games in 2012. If I stand corrected.
He was featured highly, and just...
Oh, you know why? Because Rubio was hurt. So Yul had to play. That was why.
People are just content to stay where they are.
John Diebler, I remember from Ohio State, he's got good value, but because he's a great three-point shooter. He's over at Turkey with FS. And then there's Marty Lunin, who he was a big man out of Oregon, kind of like Kazemi. He just happens to be overseas, because that's where he's been playing over the last few years. We probably won't see him anytime soon.
Well, basically, that's if you don't see how many American stashes in Europe do you see being born over 2-3 years to develop? Never.
By the same team that originally drafted them?
Yeah.
Very rarely.
That's just, I'm holding your rights, but you're not coming over because...
I think the only one we're going to be seeing is the one next that we're talking about, Deshaun Thomas. That's the only one that I could really say that for.
Well, what about your boy Montrezl?
Montrezl Harrell is definitely making the team. I'm convinced.
Okay, you're convinced? Okay.
I mean, he looked good in summer league. He had crazy, like, alley-oop dunks. Like, he's a great athlete, like I said. You know, he's just not – defensively, he's not great, and he's not that big. You know, so those are two strikes.
I think he's not that big. It's just, okay, Marty Lunin, we like him, but, okay – you know, we could draft somebody 2 years later who's the exact same player as you.
Yeah. And Brad Newley is a great Australian player. Like, for the Australian side, great guy, but not going to make the NBA. He already tried a couple of times.
Yeah, you come over for camp or you come over for summer league, give it a shot.
Yeah, we're kind of like Klaza. You know, if you make team great, if you don't, just go back to your country and play. You know, one of those kinds of things.
You're going to make millions over there anyways.
All right, and let's get to San Antonio Spurs, because these guys, they just feast on... Has any team taken advantage of the international market more than San Antonio Spurs?
I don't think they... I wouldn't say taken advantage as so much as addicted to it.
Mm-hmm. You think to a fault?
To an extent, because they pass up... They passed up solid players in order to get some European guy.
Yeah, I think Splitter is one of those cases, I think, in 07, right?
Thiago Splitter is the case. Nando De Colo.
Fabricio Oberto.
They've drafted, like, the last 3 years. I don't see any of them over here now.
Mm-hmm.
You're passing on all these...
Livio Jean-Charles, who's playing with Asvel Basket in France, which I believe is owned by Tony Parker. And he already had a knee injury, so he might not ever come over. So you just basically wasted a pick, you know?
Exactly. You take so many – it's just like lottery tickets. Eventually you'll get the next Parker, the next Ginobili, but at the expense of what, really?
Yeah, Splitter was a good one. You know, I think of the Euros, he was pretty good. It, you know, people are making out like he didn't pan out because, you know, they basically traded him away to Atlanta so they could make room for Aldridge. But that was a rare occurrence.
It was one of those where he should have been better than he was. Mm-hmm. I sort of think. Because, mm-hmm. yeah, you expected him to be the next takeover center, and it's like, well, never really developed as much as he did.
You know who their new weapon is? They're bringing a guy over from Serbia, 7'3". His name is Boban Marjanovic. That's basically the guy that they're getting to kind of relieve them from the loss of Splitter. So we'll see with that one. I mean, his rights weren't even drafted by anybody. He was just a hot name from the
Well,
Serbia
there, that's
area.
The problem. What are you doing drafting 10 people when you can just sort of wait and find a hot name if they develop in 3-4 years?
Yeah, and that happens a lot. I mean, it's rare, but there are occasions like Mirza Teletovic where a guy just really in his early 20s, he's not drafted, he's not on anyone's radar, and he just sort of picks up steam. And then he becomes a hot name, you know. And we see that with some of the American players, too. My boy Alan Anderson was one of those, where he just played really well overseas, and, you know, there he was, you know.
Yeah, and you get your deal. So it's not always, you know, your name is picked, but, you know, let's be
serious there. Let's go down names with the Spurs and see what chances these guys really, I mean, let's be honest, like, really, really have them making this this team. Let's go all the way from the bottom here. If you just give me just a second, because it's a pretty long list here of realistic shots. Ryan Richards out of the United Kingdom. He's playing at China.
No.
Very rare. Adam Hanga from Hungary. He's playing in Spain right now.
No.
Very small. Now it gets interesting. Davis Bertrands from Latvia. Playing for a really famous Spanish club, La Boro,
yeah. Bertrands, I'm surprised, hasn't come over yet. Mm-hmm. Well, because he was drafted. I don't know how they got a hold of who they traded to get him, but...
You know who else they have the rights to? I didn't even know this until I read the expanded version. Georgios Pretensis, who came from, Toronto. I think Toronto Raptors had his rights for a long, long time out of Greece, but I didn't even know that they had his rights, but he ain't coming over anytime soon, you know?
No, that's the thing. Once you start trading people's rights, they sort of, like, become damaged goods. Like, well, what's wrong
with
him?
It's just to balance out salaries so that the cap doesn't...
Yeah,
look
unless it's like, okay, you're a quarter piece, like a Marc Gasol. Mm-hmm. It's sort of, well, here's some random player we drafted 5 years ago.
The player to be named later.
Yeah. Yeah, Burton's is the only player I'm sort of is psyched about, but...
Yeah.
He did tear his ACL last year.
Just recently. Well, Livio Jean-Charles had a same problem, so we don't know with him. Marcus Denmi played at Missouri. He's playing at Istanbul BB in Turkey. Probably not going to see him. Deshaun Thomas is over with the big boys in Barcelona, so I think we'll see him probably in about a year, you know, I would say, you know, when they start freeing up some cap space there. And then they, you know, they got Dan Gubic. A guard out of Serbia. I don't know what the chances are he'll come over, though. And then there's Nikola Milutinov, the big guy that they got out of Serbia just recently.
And don't forget the guy who they'll draft next year.
Who's that?
I don't know, whatever the best girl is.
We'll say it's Zan Ki out of China.
Why not? Because, you know, every year it's just, you know, like I said, best Euro available. Oh, this year will be different. There's a lot of players sliding, and they took a Euro.
We're not going to try to list them or anything because we're running out of time. Give me the one pick for a foreign guy where one really worked out and you never expected it, and it was a great value. Not as obvious. Like, let's skip away from, like, the Nowitzkis and the Ginobili's, and let's kind of talk about, like, some of the more, like, smaller picks. Give me one that really worked out great for that club over the last 10 or 20 years, and give me one where you just said, God, what were you thinking?
Well, I was surprised that Batum became anything. Mm-hmm. I thought he didn't seem like he was anything spectacular in Europe, so the fact that he came over and really did anything was sort of surprising.
Yeah.
But for him to get, you know, okay, he's now a full rotation player. Okay, that's good. Bellinelli, I was always high on and was sort of disappointed how he didn't take off till, like, later in his career.
Yeah.
He was one, I thought.
He really did take off later in his career. You're right.
Yeah, he got traded, like, 3-4 teams before he finally found his rhythm and found his niche.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that was already four okay. trips down
give,
the line.
Give me the bad beat.
The bad beat who I was high on and failed miserably?
Or just one where they picked him high, or they took a chance. When
like you, I thought Sergio Rodriguez would have done something. I mean, Fernandez.
Rudy Fernandez, yeah. I thought he had a chance.
I thought he would have done something, but he never did. I thought Sophocles would have come over, period.
Oh, Baby Shaq?
Baby Shaq, I thought he would have come over.
He could have helped the Clippers around that time. They were pretty bad. I mean,
they were pretty bad. It was like he was somebody who, you know, he was there. He could have done something. Rubio, I thought, would have been better.
Yeah.
I think y'all sort of thought that.
There are people that, I mean, I have friends, they still try to convince me that Rubio's a good player. I just don't see it.
He's good, but he had too much hype around him.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
He had too much, like, you know, Kevin Love's not getting the 50 year of his deal because Rubio's going to get the max when that time comes. Like, well, he hasn't come over yet. Tiago Splitter would be another name I sort of thought would be better.
Okay. I'll give you, for the ones that I thought really worked out great, I'll give you two. One that you mentioned in the same class is Batum. Alexis Ajinka wound up being a pretty decent player in the NBA in his later years, kind of like you said with Bellinelli. You know, if we had done this same thing about 3 years ago, I'd have said Ajinka was a bust. But I think in New Orleans, I think he's worked out pretty decently. You know, out of France, I think he's worked his way into being a solid role player. And
well,
I didn't see anything like that in Charlotte. I thought he was a failure.
He was a bust. He was a failure, but he was one of those players like Gerald Green. Mm-hmm. He's like, I am not going to have this be my only chance. I'm going to work harder and then come back.
It got to a point where at number 20, that's actually not the worst deal, you know, getting a guy like Ajinka. So, you know, and he worked his way into a nice contract with the New Orleans Pelicans. He's going to be in the fold alongside Anthony Davis, which is not a really bad position to be in for the next few years because Davis is going to take off. And the other one was Rudy Gobert late in the 2013 draft. I mean, I know it's early. I know we haven't really seen his prime yet or his decline yet, but I think that was an absolute steal for the Utah Jazz.
We will get into that. I try to keep away from players who are like, you know, 2-3 years.
Yeah, I'm jumping the gun with that.
Yeah, you're kind of jumping the gun. I'm a little worried about them because we'll get mm-hmm. his previews definitely, but we've only seen really 6-7 good weeks of him, mm-hmm. and we're putting the whole franchise on his shoulders now.
Yeah,
could backfire.
The two that kind of let me down because I got my hopes high like I just did just now. I thought Andrea Bargnani was going to be a good player. I thought an Italian 6'9" or 6'11" type guy who could play power forward and shoot threes. I thought he would be perfect for Toronto, and his body frame was not good for a jump shooter.
And he just got lazy.
He was not a good defender, and he got lazy, got his feelings hurt, and now he's nothing. Now, I think he's with Sacramento. We'll get to the team preview soon. I can't wait for him. But
another one, the same bag, Danilo Gallinari. I'm waiting for him still to...
Yeah, but Gallinari has those moments.
He has those moments still, and it's like, I can't say he's a failure, he's a superstar.
Yeah.
It's still like, well, you've been in the league how long, and we still don't know what you can give us yet.
And another one, I thought Roddy Bobois could have been good if he had just stuck with it.
He was just never healthy.
They called him Roddy Buckets. He was just a really good shooter. Even though he's from France, I mean, he reminded me of Leandro Barbosa.
He just would get injured, like, left and right. And mm-hmm. That's what I was saying about, you know, Maryland/Ukrainian star Alex Len. It's like, well,
the real shame of him is that he got hurt the year that Dallas won the title. Because if he had been healthy and he was in that rotation when Dallas won the title, everyone would love him. Everyone would love him. They say, oh yeah, I remember Roddy Bobois in the finals or whatever.
Well, that's the thing is, you know, Clint Capella helps Houston in the playoffs.
And all of a sudden everyone loves him.
Yeah, now everyone loves him. Bobois disappeared, got injured, and then, okay, now you're replaced by somebody other, you know, some other cheap point guard.
Give me, what country do you think has really benefited the most amongst all the countries over history? And give me a country that's really on the rise that you
Well,
think you
France and Spain have always been the two dominant ones. Argentina had their moment. Right now, the hot spots are Brazil and Turkey.
Okay.
They're currently
everyone's coming from Turkey. You're going to see in the next draft, next year, there's going to be like four or five Turkish players you're going to see coming over. And every year there's always, that's where they're coming from. And then the Adriatic, Croatia, Serbia, Bosnia, mm-hmm. you're getting those Nurkic's, you're getting players out of there who
are. And we already talked about Canada, so we're just not even going to mention that part, of the story. So
Canada's, you're going to have I don't see much coming from Canada the next few years. You have my, with Cousin Murray up there, and there's that
he's from Haiti,
No, not him. The one who's trying to reclassify.
Oh, Thon Maker?
Yeah, Thon Maker.
Yeah.
We don't know what's up with him, but outside that, sort of, a lean year or two for Canada. No one else in, Mexico and Puerto Rico's been done. That's famously known.
The big things for France and Spain, like you mentioned, why they're probably the right choices there, is that the guys that came over and really ushered it in were the best ones. It was Pau Gasol. I mean, what a great introduction for your countries, your native players, to enter the league than Pau Gasol.
That's correct. And B, that's the top European league. So obviously, where are you going to go if you don't make the NBA? You're the first place is Spain.
And then obviously France with Tony Parker. I don't think it's a coincidence that all the good French players are guards.
Smaller. And even the big guys that come over are big, a fast power forward. You don't see the big, slow, 7-foot center coming from France. No, you're getting the athletic power forward.
But watching college and watching kind of the prep circuit with the U19 games and the under-18 games, I think the countries that are really going to be climbing up there pretty soon, Serbia, who finished in the finals of the FIBA World Cup, even though, Team USA destroyed them. And then the other one I think that's coming back is Greece. I think Greece is on their way to having a lot of really nice players come through their circuit. I just saw one named Tyler Dorsey who's going to go play at Oregon. And, Calathes came over there. I know they had their day in the sun in 06 when they upset the U.S. in the FIBA World Championships in Japan. And then they really took a dip. I don't even think they made the Olympics in 2012. But I think they're coming back. I think Greece is slowly coming back. But Serbia is the one to watch. There's so many good players coming out of Serbia. You got Dan Gubic, Milutinov, Mitrovic, Misic. They got a lot of really nice players there.
Well, one thing we can both agree on, this is not going away. This is not a trend. You are going to see more and more contributing players from overseas.
Well, look at Minnesota with David Kahn. That was about as close as we'll get to pretty much an international team. Everyone was having all those rumors about, are you going to have a club in France? Are you going to have a club in Greece? And I'm like, you don't need that. You got the Minnesota Timberwolves.
And, Toronto tried to do that a couple years ago. Like we mentioned, Portland tried. There's always one team who gets enamored with it. And you will see.
I think the Jazz is that next team. I think they're kind of following.
They're biting hard on it. And, well, the problem is with teams like that, that's sort of what you have to, because you have Haywood, Favors. You have people who are young and not going to go anywhere, so you don't want to waste a pick on somebody who's going to sit on a bench for 4 years.
You want someone that can help that process along, build with them. You don't want. Now, then there are some teams, like you said, where they can wait, take their time, or they're tanking and they're not in a hurry, like the 76ers.
The 76ers just have no clue and they're just picking anything.
Because our NBA previews, I think we're going worst to first, so I think we're going to be talking about them pretty soon, am I right?
that's all we can say is we're going to start with Philly and it's only going to get better from there.
Alrighty, and then that's everybody's going to be looking forward to that. I think that's going to be coming a lot sooner than people think, because the NBA season is not that far away. Preseason starts in a month, which means
Pre-season
training
starts
camp starts in about 3 weeks.
And they've already players are already practicing with each other already.
It's like pitchers and catchers. It's like when all the people get excited for pitchers and catchers. That's how we are, when they just start getting to the, it's every year someone goes to the Naval Air Base to practice. I watch it. I watch them practice on
the time to dust off the old notebooks and start scribbling down, all these notes for all these teams again.
Yeah, but all right, on behalf of Adam Murray,